You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Hey everyone, and welcome to a part two of our extremely special Just for Laughs Festival special. Yeah, I said special twice. I don't care. You might notice that I'm here all by myself. And there is no Walter. I wish he was here, but he's not. The reason for that is because we recorded these little intro files for the two Just for Last podcast episodes, and we were having so much fun that we forgot that we were actually splitting it up into two episodes. So it just sort of flowed directly into the introducing Deanne Smith, who is our first guest on today's episode. Today's episode we have Deanne Smith, Paul F. Tompkins, and hardcore legend Mick Foley. That's right. Mick Foley came and talked with us on our lovely little podcast. That's how much we love you, the listener. We go out and we get people like Paul F. Tompkins, Deanne Smith, and Mick Foley. If you haven't listened to the first episode yet, I highly recommend going back to that. On that episode, we had Patrick Castles, Dave Merhedge, Steve Patterson, and Kenny Hotz from Kenny vs. Spenny. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and check it out. And you know what? I'm going to stop wasting your time, and I'm going to introduce the first guest tonight, who is Deanne Smith, a local comedian, very talented, very funny. She was actually supposed to record with us a long time ago. She talks a little bit about that, and we only got her for 15 minutes, but I'm almost positive we're going to be able to get Deanne for a full episode later on in the future. So anyway, without further ado, further delay on my part, here's Deanne Smith on the Go Plug Yourself Just for Last special episode 2.
Who That's told really you?
Seriously,
idea.
Who
someone,
told you?
Someone tell you our plan.
Get out of my head,
exactly.
Deanne.
Our plan is to have this computer here in the corner and then snag people.
We hung around all day and stuff and just was like, hey, how's it going? I'm introducing myself now so it's not weird later.
Yeah. Comedian snagged the first is Deanne Smith, though.
Yes. Is the way we're doing this? Is this
now
on
this
now?
Is happening.
Now we're going, Deanne.
Let's do this.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Deanne doesn't remember how she was almost on the show previously.
She was almost on the show, and she blew us off, I think, in probably the worst way.
I wouldn't say blow
no,
us off.
In that, the worst
that's rather
way.
A harsh
no, no,
term.
No. She maybe wasn't that harsh to you, but she did. She
Let's talk about when
you,
this was.
You egged my car.
I have no recollection of that.
Well, you don't have a recollection of blowing
I
us off.
I egg
so
a lot of cars.
Can you tell us that you didn't? No, yeah.
Very happy to have Deanne on.
Yeah, it was right when we started the podcast, honestly. So it was like coming up on a
but
year ago.
You tell me when, though. Tell me when in the year it was.
You, end of the year? Around now-ish. I think maybe September, October, but 2011. You were to go on some sort of a trip.
Is that what led directly to the Drunken Disaster podcast with Darren?
Might have been.
I think so. Yeah, because I scrambled for a last-minute replacement and got Darren Henwood to show up, and he was piss-ass drunk. And it was amazing.
I don't know, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, don't worry about it. It's good. Okay. You're here now. That's all we should really
be focusing on. I'm hoping it was legit. 95% of the time, it would be legit.
I would assume it was. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, like, you seem like pretty, you know, down to do it.
I remember it was. I was excited that we were possibly going to do it around the roller derby ball. So when does the roller derby ball happen?
This really doesn't matter.
It's completely November? Possible.
She's not here for the hour. Let's
no,
establish
no, 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 no,
that.
It's completely possible. I might have been uncontrollably crying. That could have been why
that's
I could have blown
sad.
You
so
off.
Sad.
That's what I was wondering when it
this
was.
This is a really good kickoff to the
yeah.
JFL special.
Yeah.
first comic.
Just
so I was
relax.
Crying this one time, and I couldn't do your podcast.
I couldn't do your podcast because
yeah.
I was uncontrollably
so you are
crying.
Having a crazy JFL, though. Like, I see your name opening for everybody and headlining
literally
your own
everybody.
Show.
I have so many simultaneous shows.
Simultaneous
how are you
I'm
even
telecasting
right now?
Various shows.
I assume that we're talking with Deanne Smith, clone number 3.
Yeah, it's the Tupac
Shakur. Oh, I wish. That would be amazing.
Hologram Deanne Smith.
Yeah. No, I'm doing my own show, but I'm just did like a gala spot and a spot in the alternative show. And
okay.
Just like warm up spots around.
Okay.
And when
it's
you say
not
when you say the alternative show, you mean the Bill Hader show?
No, that was the gala. I did the alternative show
you
last
did the alternative
night.
Show, which was where? Where was that at?
It's at Catacombs this year.
Didn't even know about that
a
one.
A great venue for it. Midnight, every night.
Every night.
Hosted by Andy Kindler. Do you know about the alternative show in
general?
I do
now, yes. Now that you mentioned that Kindler is hosting it. Yeah,
yeah, it's really great. Last night was so much fun.
The midnight shows are year in, year out my favorites, honestly. Yeah. Like, because they're just sort of like everybody's a little looser and like...
I was about to say it was off the chain, but then I realized I didn't really know where that phrase originated and
Are you worried about where it might have come from?
Would it be off the chain like a mad dog? Is a mad dog off its chain?
I hope so. I hope there isn't some weird like racial chain gang implication to it. Like
I hadn't even thought of that.
I hope it's something that you can say without any like fear of.
I'd say it was off the chain.
Off the chain like a mad dog off the chain.
Perhaps.
There you go. Not in any racially insensitive way.
And as I jumped the gun previously, you also did a set at the Bill Hader Gala.
Yes, I did.
Which was super cool.
Oh, thanks.
Because like they didn't. No, they didn't announce the names at first. I don't think at first it was just Bill Hader Gala.
Right.
And I'm like already awesome, and then I looked at the names and stuff. Like when I was looking, and I'm like Dan Smith, super awesome.
Yeah.
And like I said, like I told you before, I'm taking credit for the Wheel Clubs establishing all these great comics that are now like doing these big JFL stages.
Fair.
Deanne. Dan Bingham is doing stuff, and he headlined the first show, so okay. Really awesome.
Yeah.
When did you find out you were going to be doing the Hader Gala?
I knew I was doing a gala months ago, but then I didn't know which one until recently. So I don't know how they figure out who does what, but a few weeks before I was doing that, I knew that I was doing it.
That's good that you got a good gala, though.
I'm not to say
that there are any bad galas, but if there was someone who you didn't like think was cool, like I mean, I can't speak for you, but both... Walter and I are pretty big fans of Bill Hader. And I'd feel like good opening up for someone that I like.
Do you know, he turned out to be a really nice guy. He was just super nice. And he came up to me, my intro, as was written by somebody in Just for Laughs,
right,
was ridiculous. And he came over.
Can you share with us?
Yeah, I'm about to. Okay, so he came over and he was like right before I went on stage, he's like, this is what they have written for your intro and I don't want to say this. Is that okay if I don't say this? And I was like, no, that's awesome if you don't say that. So I thought it was really sweet that he came over. And the thing was just like, your next act is a funny woman, which is to say lonely. Please welcome Deanne Smith.
What the fuck?
Ouch.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing. Who knows? But
what the fuck?
I fired them. The podcast where you were crying and stuff, and you're like, "Why did you say this?"
And so, and then he, so what he did on stage, which I saw, he just ad libbed that.
Yeah, he just kind of ad-libbed.
Which is really cool because he was doing it as all his different SNL characters, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, he was still doing the Italian guy, I think.
I don't remember because that's very in my own head.
You were getting into your thing.
Yeah, you were zoning in.
Which sort of segs into my next question. You got segs.
I'm down.
Thank you, Dan. Keith questions my vocabulary a lot,
constantly.
And it's not without merit. But anyway, you got your solo show, you did the Hader show, you did the alternative show, and how many other things? Like 12 other shows.
I'm going to do set list.
You could do set list,
which I'm excited about.
With all these different shows, I mean, like, do you do a completely different set are you doing a completely different set in each show, or I mean, like, tweaking it, or how's that working out for you?
Actually, it's been a little bit different. My show is my show, so
right.
That doesn't change too much.
Right.
There's improvisation and fun things that happen every night, but my show is my show. The gala set was definitely different from what I would do at the alternative show, which is obviously different from what I'll do at Setlist, which is completely made up and on the spot. So yeah, I guess it's all a little bit different.
Now, because gala stuff is like potentially televised, right? Like,
yeah. No, it is televised.
Live?
You pretty much know.
Not
that
live, but
okay.
Not live, but somewhere you're on CBC forever now.
Yeah. When I tune in,
has that like sunk into your mind now? Like for the rest, as long as you'll be alive.
CBC at about 6 o'clock.
There's a good chance if you put on CBC, you'll be there.
Around dinner time.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think this year with the galas, it might be CBC, it might be Comedy Network.
Well,
there's a lot of,
regardless,
like, nobody knows where it's going.
Regardless, you'll be on TV somewhere.
It'll be somewhere.
All the gala shows are, like, owned by a network forever, so they could play it anytime they wanted.
Oh, goodness.
But it's over and done with now.
Your hair look really good. If it helps.
I have read the fine print.
Your hair you're just signing anywhere. Done.
Thanks for saying my hair looked good. That means everything to me. I just got my.
It did.
It does. I just got my haircut today, and I was like, desperate.
It was a little bit longer.
I was desperate for a haircut, but I didn't want to do it before the gala because I couldn't get my regular girl, and I was like, it's not gonna. I don't know.
Like if it goes south, you would just.
The hair is like 60% of the edge.
It had a bit of a glammy thing going on, which I kind of like.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was good. And the outfit, I like the outfit, the whole thing.
I found that outfit that day. I was psyched.
It was blue. There was a blue.
There was like a teal tie.
I'm not used to seeing you in that arrangement of colors, and I'm like, she's stepping a little bit out of comfort zone, but it's working.
This is
and
good.
The hair is looking good.
That was for
TV. So you're gonna be all over that TV special.
I hope so.
They're gonna cut Hader out. And they're going to make it, they're going to edit it so it makes it look like it's your gala. I think it's how it's going to go.
I hope so.
I think that's going to be hard to do, but I
When your flattery was sincere, I liked it, and now I don't. So
I was always sincere.
Okay.
All right. Flattery is constantly sincere. It's the way the podcast goes is I hate myself a long time and he flatters me and then I like, okay, I'll bring the computer. Like, that's how it goes. So his flattery is always sincere. If it's not, I'll have a breakdown.
Okay.
That's what'll happen.
But speaking of hair, I mean, it's really no small thing to be complimented on hair by Walter Lang.
That's true.
It looks like shit sometimes.
You're rocking various cool styles of hair all over your face right now.
I always like to imagine a lot of Brill Cream.
It's not Brill Cream. Brill Cream doesn't work for me. I don't understand who Brill Cream works for.
Guys from the 50s?
Because it doesn't actually hold. It just makes your hair like greasy and gross. This is hard. This is like,
I don't touch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like that's
whoa.
That's like a shell.
It really is like a shell.
There's no give. I can't run my fingers through that.
This is why you can drink so heavily, because you can like fall down without fear. You're like basically wearing a helmet.
That's like a shell.
Yeah, yeah, it's dippity doo all the way.
So. On a regular basis, though, you travel, you tour a lot. You also run a night at the Royal Phoenix?
Yes.
Yes?
That's the only show I consistently have going at the moment.
Okay.
Because I've had a few other ones, but they fall by the wayside when I travel.
All right.
But, so yeah, so I have a show, Royal Phoenix. It's going to be back on Tuesdays again.
Cool.
Once a month. It's called Royal Riot. Super fun. And then I run Stand Up Strip Down at Theatre St. Catherine, which is comedy and burlesque. But that's like every couple of months, every 6 weeks, whenever I can.
I always see the photos afterwards, and I'm always like, why did I not go?
Yeah, seriously, like it's the best show ever.
Yeah. It always slips past, and somehow there's like this amazing gallery, and I was like, that looks like the most fun in the world.
Just once for like an April 1st show, could you maybe do Stand Down, Strip Up? Just maybe.
What would that be? What would it be?
It works. Everybody starts in their underpants and then slowly gets dressed.
And also at the same time, you're screaming "Stand down!" and everybody
stand down,
assuming they're armed.
I think maybe
kind of
too
a, it's a strange concept. I need to work on that
I
a little
do.
Bit.
I
right
think,
now, I,
think
I just have
a regular
title.
Night. Although just everybody starts nearly naked and
the
then
concept
gets
of
dressed.
Yeah, starting nearly naked.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I think we could do this underwear comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Just everyone would get really excited at the beginning because they just be like, "Woo!"
Royal Phoenix is awesome, though. Like
yeah.
you had me come on and do like
you're on the first show ever.
I don't think it was first show. I don't know.
I
but
think
it was like
was.
I did like
the end thing is first show ever. First
then
show.
It was first show ever. I did like a last minute sub and I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a great time. There was Pabst and they were cheap.
PBR yep. drink.
And I got my drink on a little bit and I did and I had fun. It was a fun set. It was like the stage was good.
Yeah.
And I just I'm not used to talking to that many lesbians at once. I'll be honest.
There's a lot of them.
There was a lot of lesbians. But it was lovely.
The thing about it that was great, and that I remember about you being there, that was so cute, was because at Royal Phoenix they have like non-gender specific bathrooms. So there's just a bathroom, and anyone can go in there.
Let's all get ready for Walter looking like
with
a fool. Star.
No, it wasn't looking like a fool. You just were like very sensitive, which was great. You were like, there's only one bathroom. Am I allowed? Is
I
that?
Like, I just
okay?
had to check. I just wanted to check
just
before.
Really
like
cute.
In Walter's world, though,
I never been there.
Only. You're just sort of like guys go around.
Guys
back.
Go out, guys, go to McDonald's two blocks over here.
You thought you were in a lesbian bar. You have to hold it. You shouldn't even have a penis or a bladder.
You know that's a normal thing at like after hours and stuff, right?
Unisex bathrooms?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I've been to that. I'm not really much of a scenester. I don't know if this is coming off.
Neither am I.
But I lived in Denmark briefly. That they had that over there at some of the trendier places. I never really knew what to look at that. Look, rocking it like a pro.
Deanne's a pro, but now it's less pro because you drew attention to
it. I don't care. I'm just impressed. I
just had a sip of water, everyone, and I pressed the mute button.
It was amazing. I've never seen anybody do that in my whole life.
I'm a fast learner.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So have you had any other than, I guess, I think you said the gala show was pretty great with Bill Hader. What have you been enjoying about JFL so far this year?
That's a good question. Probably a lot of things. At this specific moment, I'm really tired. Like, I've hit a wall.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time knowing. But so I guess it must be the party atmosphere. It must be hanging out with people until the wee hours. There's always something happening. Today, I just got swept up in the excitement of it all. I went to all the conference stuff and just, like,
yeah, I saw, you were
saw a bunch of people. And then I just went to go see Adam Rich's show.
How was that one?
It's great. He won Best Comedy in Edinburgh last year, and I didn't get a chance to see him there. So I went at Mainline Theater. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
They're using Mainline as using it as a zoo fest venue.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's going pretty
How's
well.
How's the AC situation?
Probably not great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did my French Fest run there.
Yeah.
It was rough.
I was okay in the audience, but he was just dripping. Yeah. It was uncomfortable to watch, actually, for that reason. I was like, you look gross.
I only imagine.
He didn't look gross, yeah, and he looked passionate. Okay, difference.
Sweat is passion.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I equate it to.
There's tons of things about your love life that I just learned.
Boom. Thank you, Keith.
That's awesome.
Great. Wait, excuse me, I'm going to lock eyes with your girlfriend.
No, she's not doing it. There you go.
There she is.
Oh, man, Deanne Smith is putting on a master class in seduction right now.
Hey! Eyes off, Smith.
Walter is when Walter's sweating, so I don't know if that means he's...
I always sweat. I'm always sweating.
Passionate.
I'm constantly sweating. I'm a very passionate man.
Yeah.
That's great. So what are you...
It's great.
What are your plans coming up?
That's great.
Though?
So what are you...
It's great stuff, Walter.
Plans coming up. Yeah. Monday, I'm going to go to Edinburgh, which is great, to take my show, Living the Sweet Life, there for a month.
Wow.
That'll be from the 1st to the 26th of August. Ooh. I have one night off. I already know what it is. August 14th. I'm psyched about it.
I can imagine. You're already like more psyched. Like, you're like, right, I'm more psyched about the night off than the show.
So I'm doing that. And then I come back. I'm going to do JFL 42 in Toronto. It's a new kind of experiment that Just for Laughs is doing.
What did you say that's called?
It's called JFL 42.
What's the 42?
The idea, I think they say, we've invited 42 of the most interesting professionals, whatever. It's not all comedians. I think... David Suzuki is going to be there. There's
He's
some
hilarious.
Like comic book writers that are going to be there. I know, with his whole, oh, the world is ending. You are.
Yeah, no, yeah. Oh, no,
I thought that they were, when you said JFL 42, in my high, I'll tell you what I thought of.
What did you think?
I thought that they were like, it's the future. And no. Hear me out. It's kind of cool because they would invite like up-and-comers like yourself to like sort of do headline style events.
Sure, Deanne loves being referred to as an up and comer.
No, I don't mind at all.
You know, but like as though like, you know, like so you'd have the Deanne Smith Gala, you know? Like because it was 12 years in the future. So obviously you'd
12 years.
Well, 42,
I'm done with this podcast. I am done with this podcast.
We're 38.
No, I'm leaving.
Now,
I'm ripping off this headphone.
Steve Martin. I'm saying it was like was only had his own
actually,
shows
it's
like
true.
Last
it took
year.
A really long time.
Yeah.
No, but I mean it would just be maybe you'd be on your like 10th gala by then.
All right,
but
here we go.
10th gala.
Here we go.
But I'm just saying we're at
JFL 42.
My point was we're at JFL 30 right now. So it would be 12.
I see what you're saying.
JFL.
I didn't know what you meant with the 30. All right, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Can I just say, are you done with this?
No, that's all what right. I, but like.
No, you need to do what he did to you. That's great. Anyway.
That's really good, Keith. It's great material.
Asshole.
This is Walter, apropos of nothing.
Yes.
You had one of my favorite, this is going to be like completely a shit anecdote for listeners, but it's my own thing.
Is
you
it
had
funny?
One of the favorite things I've ever seen on Facebook.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I don't know if you meant
what
it to
this?
Be like intentionally hilarious, or
hopefully.
If you're just being legitimately nasty. You got involved and somebody included you in a thread. I think it was
I was not being legitimately nasty.
it was hilarious.
Great.
Dan got included in a thread on a Facebook like message thing, right?
Okay.
And when you get included on those, you get everything, regardless of whether you want to see it or not. And then people forget. That you know, other people are included in the thread. They start talking about other nonsense that has nothing to do with the conversation. I don't even forget. I just stop caring. And so I got into this thing with another guy. And then next thing you know, the next message was from Deanne. I don't have time for this bullshit. Gone. And then immediately followed by Deanne has left the conversation. I was like, oh.
Yeah. The problem with that little joke is I don't get to see the results. I just have to hope that it worked.
Results? Oh yeah.
In terms of leaving the conversation.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's just like, oh, what the fuck is her problem, man? Yeah.
It's like the Facebook dropping the mic. Like, yeah. I don't just like walk out.
But then you wrote a lovely thing on my wall, which I appreciated a lot, and I thumbs up.
Yeah, because it's just Deanne quote. I don't have time for this bullshit. Quote Smith.
She doesn't have time for this bullshit.
She doesn't have time for this bullshit.
That's how we're going to tag this podcast.
Yeah, Deanne, I don't have time for this bullshit.
Seriously, guys, it's over. I don't have any more time for this
bullshit.
I will see you guys later. Enjoy the rest of your festival.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was really awesome, Sega. It's like, I feel like a pro.
Stop saying Sega.
I was going to say Sega the whole time.
Hey,
Deanne Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was
not impersonating Deanne Smith. That was actually Deanne Smith.
And what I like about this episode, or this clip from Deanne Smith, is that if... She basically promised to do a drunken podcast with us.
Yeah, she seemed eager about that.
She was like, can we do a podcast? Like, together? Yeah, we could. Can we do it super drunk?
Yeah.
Yes, we can, Deanne. If you're listening to this.
Also, she's like, buying. She's buying. She's buying the drinks.
I would be willing to... She's what, like 100 pounds?
Oh, yeah, she's little.
Well, I'd be willing to pay her, get her.
But I think gonna, she... You know what? You know what's going to happen? She's going to end up like drinking us both into the table.
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen.
She's going to be like a power drinker.
Yeah.
But either way, Deanne, we know you're listening. Long time listener to the show. You're going to come down. We are going to do a good 2 hours of pre-drinking before we even bust open the mics. Then we're going to drink for an hour and record a podcast.
Also, Deanne, I want to say that you were almost, in this two-part special, you were almost the best-dressed guest. Almost, but then you were blown out of the water by our next guest.
Paul F. Tompkins. We talked about it a little bit. Paul F. Tompkins was great. He was also
another really good guy.
Unbelievably
really
friendly.
Super nice.
Walked by him. He had just come back from the Bill Hader Gala.
And I sort of gotten a little bit intimidated about getting these guys who are really well known for podcasts and stuff, just because of another guy that I talked to earlier that day that we, but whatever.
Not gonna name names.
Yeah, no. But anyway, and I was worried.
One of the biggest podcasters in the world.
But
no big deal.
Mr. Tompkins, very nice man.
Super nice. Went up to him and he was like, you know, I'm doing a big press thing. The next day would have been Friday. I'm really really tired. I'm heading back. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to wring your arm, whatever else like that. We're just set up right over there.
At the wine bar.
We
were at the wine bar. He didn't have a single glass of wine all goddamn night, though.
He was dressed for the wine bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, if you just want to swing by when you head up, we'd love to have you, whatever else. Walter wasn't even 100% convinced. He was like, you know what, he just said yes to get rid of you. But then sure enough, you see Paul F. Tompkins walking by, sees us, waves,
and comes over. Like, he said he would do it, and he did it.
He just
comes
over.
Was...
I didn't even guide him over or anything else like that. We're up
super
there.
Super awesome.
Walked over. Super nice. We get to talk about a little bit of his podcast, a little bit of the shows he's been doing.
Yeah. He told us about everything we were doing wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, good job with the podcast, guys. But
he says this is a nice little project you kids got going here.
Yep.
And he didn't say that, but
basically
I really
condescending.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so cute. What's that, a laptop?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's your audio guy? Do you have a producer around?
Where's your spit guard?
How do you stop from popping your bees? No idea.
No, fucking, I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah. Pow. God damn it.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Did you get a stutter right there? You fucking dickhead.
You heard it here first, kids.
Paul F. Tompkins, though.
Not an impersonation.
Not an impersonation. Great fucking guest. Super fucking friendly.
Very nice guy.
And
good mustache, too.
There we go. I think we have all the channels. This is super exciting.
Very happy. Yeah, this is really great.
Mega, mega podcast. We just run a local Montreal podcast.
Right.
Called Go Plug Yourself. We have Montreal comedians on tons of times.
Right.
And so now we're like, you're a podcast giant, basically.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you to say.
Definitely, there's only a few podcasts that I check out weekly, and you're one of them.
Oh, thank you very much.
I would say it's like
if a guy just liked giving gifts out, it'd be like if that guy met Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, a little bit. I give out little local gifts. Yeah. You give out right. Santa Claus as yeah. December 25th gifts.
Right, and I'm thousands of years old.
You're the stuff of fiction, the stuff of legend.
I thought you seemed pretty worldly, and now it all makes sense.
I've seen some stuff.
The way you materialized into the chair, I was a particularly big fan of. I was like, yo, I went to talk to Paul F. Tompkins, asked him to be on the podcast, and then he was like, bing.
Everyone's impressed.
Then you were there.
Don't feel dumb. It's an impressive thing. I materialized
stupid.
Out of thin air.
How's the festival working out for you, bro?
Yeah, you just had your show tonight?
So far, so good. I was lucky enough to be asked to put together a show that I could host and pick stand-ups that I wanted to be on it. And I got all these people that I really love. I was
thrilled. So you handpicked the whole thing?
Awesome. They gave me the master list of everybody that was going to be at the festival, and I got to pick, I definitely want these people.
That's
and
really
I
cool.
managed to get, not every single show, but... Over the course of all the shows, I got all the people that I wanted to be on the show.
So you had no disappointments, basically?
No, none, yeah.
That's really awesome.
It's great.
This big light at the end of the podcasting tunnel for me. I'm like, if I can just, make this podcast go big enough, I'll get my pick of the shows.
That's right.
I'll get my pick of the comics.
It's the logical course of events.
Is I just need to keep sticking through with this podcast.
Exactly.
Did you record an episode last year, or were you just on the Podfathers... panel?
I was just on the panel.
You were just on the panel. I thought that was really weird that wasn't a podcast.
Well, because that's a good point.
Yes, it's sort of like
anything would be.
Yeah, exactly. It was you,
Mark Maron, Chris Hardwick,
Mosier.
Scott Mosier from the, and from the podcast. And Greg Proops.
Yeah, exactly. But it was not recorded for posterity.
Not recorded.
No.
Like, everybody sits there and records hours of podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if there are even still photos of that.
No. It, was, yeah. It never existed as far as I was
concerned.
The biggest,
like, basically all, well, I think Proops is top 10, but you guys are all, like, top 5. Like, there's, like, the 5 top 5, and Proops is, like, high top 10. Just all sitting there, and they're like, record it? No. No, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know whatever became of that, but we still have a reunion every year. We all get together.
I'm waiting for my invitation.
That's right.
I'm starting the Montreal podcast chapter. There's like, we're 3.
Yeah, we reenact it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they reenact it every year. You do it's a live podcast.
I guess that's why we didn't record it, because we knew we were going to reenact it every year.
it was a little
makes
strange.
Sense.
But no, you're like, your podcast, first of all, is one of the more produced podcasts, I think, that's out there.
Yes, that's fair to say.
There's a really high, like, high end of production on it, which is always blows me away compared to some of the other podcasts I listen to, which is like ours, like press record, go.
No. Well, yeah, but then we put the score in afterwards.
We do.
There's no score.
We have the Hans Zimmer score that is like that he writes for us every week.
Sure,
it's pretty great.
He's a good guy.
And you've also been on Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast?
Yes.
Which?
With Eugene Merman, yeah. That was,
how was that?
Oh, that was so much fun. That was actually, that was very thrilling to be in that, you know, in a theater with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who was so excited and practically evangelical about science.
Yeah.
And you get caught up in it, you know.
Yeah,
and it was thrilling to watch that and to be there.
You hear it in his voice. Like,
oh,
You hear that he's just, like, he's so excited to explain, like, carbon running through your blood.
Yeah,
and you're I'm excited about carbon in my blood. Like,
his message basically is it's so wonderful that these are the things that make us all in this place at the same time. You know, that the entire universe is this amazing place, and everything in it is fascinating. It's not all about space. It's also about microbiology.
Yeah, exactly.
It's everything. And it's really exciting and thrilling to see somebody that
it's
fired
great.
Up
and
about
And I love what he does with the having comics on, like, to sort of, I guess, maybe, like, broaden the audience. Like, I think it's Eugene Merman, who's his one of his regular co-hosts.
Absolutely,
you know? And it's just, like, I'm so excited for a show that's coming up with Seth MacFarlane, too. Like, they're redoing Cosmos, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I heard you on the Live at the Neptune, I think, was the one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Which, and I was just sort of like, oh, it was like, I love it when my podcasts overlap.
I know. I do, too. Because I'm a big podcast fan. And That was an exciting thing to be a part of that for that reason as well.
Yeah. Super good. Anyway,
absolutely.
We won't keep you for much longer because you're already doing us a huge favor for coming.
Pleasure.
No, not to say that, like, you're whatever, but you're tired. You just did a show. You have a whole crazy media junket.
Don't dictate Paul F. Tompkins' energy level.
You know what, Paul? You're the third host now. You're going to stay here for the rest of the night. We're going to put other people on the microphone.
How long are you guys going to be here tonight?
As long as we can.
We're going to be here probably until...
Wow.
Like, I think
until the vacuum guy starts, like, bumping us in the legs. Until we start getting the bum rush.
That's the
goal. Until they change the candles, we'll be here.
Go for it, dude. Love it.
That's it.
I got one more.
Sure.
Over it.
All the clothes shopping, does that happen at one store? Does it happen at multiple spots?
Multiple outlets.
You've got to be, like, the most dapper guy at the festival.
Thank you very much. I gather things from all over the place.
Oh, so it's like a little... So it's piecemeal?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it is.
All right.
I know it when I see it.
And if there was one store, would you tell anybody?
No.
No, I didn't think so. All right.
Like the Paul F. Tom store, or, like, whatever.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're like, I really should have seen that coming.
That's not a bad idea. Ooh, now you got me thinking.
You should get a... We were talking... There was the YouTube panel today... And they were talking about, like, some of these YouTube stars have, like, deals with, like, JCPenney and Kmart and stuff with their, like, their YouTube
slogans. Like the chocolate rain guy?
Yes. Actually,
oh, like,
yes.
T-shirts?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. not like a
what
line of clothing.
Not like a line of clothing. Not like Chocolate Rain presents, like,
it's, yeah, it's like it's the Stella McCartney equivalent,
no,
yeah.
No. But, yeah, but it has, like, their slogans and stuff on the T-shirts. I'm like, you guys, you could get into, like, the higher end of it, like... The Paul F. Tompkins.
Why hasn't Target approached me?
Time to start approaching Target, I think.
You know what? You're right.
Just like high quality,
bull by the horns.
like affordable menswear.
That's right.
Because menswear that you buy at Target's usually garbage.
Exactly.
So you'd raise the bar. You go to Target and you're like, you go to Target for everything anyway.
I'd be doing them a service.
Exactly. They should be calling you.
I gotta assume
they're listening.
I want to touch on one more thing. You were on the Bill Hader Gala,
yes,
a couple nights ago,
yeah,
which is great. And one thing that really that took me with your set, is there like you don't have to answer if you don't want. Did you get a designated set time for Hader? They tell you said you got like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, or
everybody had roughly 8 minutes.
Okay,
it was like 7 to 8 minutes.
And what I really thought was cool about it is that in that 8 minute set, much of that set was devoted to the, I mean, it's gone now. It's not going to be killing anything. To the snakes and the peanut brittle.
Yeah, I would say 9 minutes of my 8 minutes.
I thought that was so amazing that you devoted so much time. Like, you knew you went in there and you had to make the conscious decision. Do I do most of this set on the peanut brittle gag?
Well, the thing
and I thought
is,
it was great that you committed to that.
I mean, like with the amount of time that I was given, I was like, I could probably do 2 bits, and then the second bit, it's like, well, it's the end of the show. You know, they're going to edit this. Yeah, they're going to edit this. So they'll probably just cut the first bit
Let's
out.
Let's make it impossible for them to edit and tell one long joke.
But they could totally edit it. They could just cut out that first bit, you know, about the scary movies.
Right.
You know, and I was like, yeah, I'll go for this. And, you know, because, and also I realized at the rehearsal, because the rehearsal was so rushed, and I said, give me a light when I have 1 minute left. But they never told me where the light was.
I was freaking out. I was looking around because, like, I do like some stand up stuff here, and I was like, I was looking. I'm like, where the hell would the light be?
And you know, that stage is like, it's crazy lights all over.
I know.
The place.
Did you locate it? Could you find
eventually
it?
Eventually, I did. It was down at my feet. It was like,
oh wow,
oh, that's the
that's
light.
That's not
oh,
where
okay.
I would look for it. Yeah.
No. I was expecting like a light from the back, you know, where I'm looking. You know. And then finally, I see this light at the foot of the stage. I'm like, oh, that's the light. Okay. But I think I had heard. This is a bit of a scoop. I saw Bill Hader the next day and did an interview with him. And he said people were freaking out backstage because I was going over my time. And there was like this chatter like, oh, my God, he's going over. And Bill knew that I was wrapping up the bit because he'd seen the bit before.
Right.
Okay.
But he's just for the hell of it, he said, oh, man, he's only halfway through, too. And people went crazy. He was like, I'm kidding. But he did it just so people would lose their minds.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And what else do you have left now? What else are you going to be doing?
I got, I'm going to do the Bob's Burgers table read tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. I'll be filling in for Kevin Klein, who I guess he has better things to do than to come to the Just for Laughs festival.
Right. That's like maybe a scoop. Like next season, you're just filling in. No. I'm 100% kidding. But it would just sort of like it'd be one of those terrible things. Not terrible things, but like don't want to wish ill in anyone's career. But it was sort of like he nailed it. He nailed it in Montreal.
It was so good.
The writers just saw new things. Oh, shit.
I'm doing set list at midnight tomorrow night, and then the last one of my shows at the Mainline at 10 p.m. on Saturday, and then Andy Kindler's alternative show at midnight at the Catacombs on Saturday.
Tons coming up.
They got you running ragged.
What's that?
They got you running ragged.
They're getting their money's worth out of it.
Yeah, they sure are.
Absolutely. But I love it.
How much do you pay in airfare with what I'm assuming is a giant wardrobe of suits?
Yeah, like...
Because, again, we've never seen you
ship it over, or is it the same flight?
I cannot disclose that information.
All right.
I have a special deal worked out with Air Canada.
And Moors.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
That was really nice of you. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
It's a pleasure.
I'll give you one of our cards.
My girlfriend, Gavin.
Walter, give him a card.
All right. There you are, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up one more time for Paul
F. Tompkins.
From the Pod F. Tompkins.
Podcast.
Fucking really? Best name in podcasting.
Yeah.
And also, I like during the clip when we talk about the suit store that he'll have, I thought it was great. And you hear him be like, yeah, when I was like, the Paul F. Tom store. And he was like, yeah. Yeah, you should open the Paul F. Tom store.
He wouldn't tell us. I tried to get it out of him where he does most of his clothes shopping.
People just heard that.
Yeah, I know. You mean we just heard that,
Keith. We just heard that. Everybody just heard that.
Hey!
So that was Paul F. Tompkins, who was
for
also
real.
As opposed to the fake.
And as opposed to me doing an impersonation.
Yeah.
Right.
Walter, you know what? You talk so much about us doing impersonations that you've literally called every episode we've ever done into question.
I know. It's the best.
It wasn't Sugar Sammy. It was Walter doing an impression. No, yeah. It was Sugar Sammy.
No, everybody that's been on has been real.
Although we need to start taking pictures of these.
Except for that one episode we did with the Great Kazoo.
Hey, Walter. Hey, good work, Dum-Dum.
No, now that's more Marvin the Martian.
Only you can see me, Walter.
Yeah. Dum-Dum. Now it's more demure with the British. We're still doing Marvin the Martian. Anyway.
Who would win in a fight? Greg Kazoo, Marvin the Martian.
Tough
one. Who cares?
One.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. You know who wins? Mick Foley.
All right. This is actually, there are two clips that we have of Mick Foley due to some minor errors.
And also that everybody wanted to talk to Foley.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like, everybody turns into a child around Mick Foley.
And he's the greatest guy because he's like with a microphone on him. He's still, like, waving to people.
And you know who Mick Foley turns into a child next to?
The Muppets.
The Muppets. The guys
that
were...
We talk about that.
Yeah. All right.
God damn
it. You're about to hear. I'm so sorry.
Stop spoiling Mick Foley.
I'm sorry. I was so excited.
Mick Foley.
He was my favorite. He was my favorite.
A.K.A. Dude Love. A.K.A. Mankind. On Go Plug Yourself.
A.K.A. The Ultimate War... No, wait, never mind.
No,
I'm sorry.
No,
that was not the same guy
at all. Star of WCW, WWE, and TNA. He's been on all of them, right?
We don't have to mention TNA.
He mentions TNA a bit in the podcast.
Yeah.
don't diss TNA. If you listen to this, sorry, Mick. God damn it, you asshole.
He got blown up in Japan one time.
What? This is taking it to a weird place. I'm going to cut this off.
In a death match.
We're going to...
He was my favorite. I love him. He's so cuddly.
You'll hear in the episode.
You'll hear me spazzing out.
A little bit.
Because it was very late in the night. It was late in the night. He's my favorite person in the world. And
we started the clip with Foley at 2:45 in the morning.
Yeah. Like, and we went to like 20 morning, past so 3,
we
were, I think.
Went to 20 past 3.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is going to be two clips. This is the first of the two clips.
We started at 2:45, really?
We started this episode.
Goddamn.
This clip at 2:45.
Yeah. All right.
Walter's drunk, he's meeting a childhood legend. I get maybe two words in edgewise because Walter's like, yeah, I love you, Mick.
I love you, Mick. And you remember that one? This is the closest you'll ever hear me to being Chris Farley from, like, you know, the Chris Farley show from Saturday Night Live. This is the closest I ever come to that, I think, on this show.
Put your hands together, everybody.
Mick!
If you're on the bus, I'd like you to start clapping.
Just clap on the bus.
Right now.
Clap on the bus. Mick. Don't get off the bus. Shut up and listen to the Mick Foley, goddammit.
That's not talking. And I think we're closing off the evening with possibly our most special guest
ever in the history of our special guest.
Thank you.
We have a Mick, hardcore legend.
We hardcore legend, Mick Foley.
Mick Foley.
We've had separate podcasts just degenerate into talking about wrestling that don't have wrestlers on them, so this is like a pretty big deal for us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm just sorry I've had so much to drink. I haven't had anything. So we're cool.
You must be getting to the point of exhaustion, though. Like,
I resolved myself just going directly to bed, and then when I walked into the room, I just had a cool dinner with Brendan Burns and Hannibal Buress.
Right.
I was ready for bed, and I saw Adam Hills from Australia,
right,
who had just done a great set on the Muppet Show. He done a great set of comedy. I was like, hey, I loved it. And he was like, well, these guys are the Muppets.
So yeah, because like I just saw you, and you just met the human side of the Muppets.
Yeah. So it's just wrestling is such, that's one of the things I like most about it is that you just run in the most bizarre circles.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I got a really nice tweet today from a young lady in the adult film business
today,
yeah. And she had put me on her list of 10 people who mean a lot to me.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's so sweet. So the last contact I had with a human being was where I waited until it was like 1 in the morning, so not everybody. I don't want people, you know, Googling her. So
right.
I want to acknowledge that. I liked the tweet, and it was very sweet. And then I tweet to my adult film friend, and then I come in and hang out with the Muppets. So it works out pretty good.
Not everybody has that 24-hour period,
no,
you know?
No, it's it makes it fun. There's never a dull moment.
Now, we spoke about this briefly last week when I talked to you for the paper. Now, would you say this is like the official kickstart to your the next chapter of your career, your career in stand-up?
Well, that's what I was hoping. Yeah.
They announced you as a comedian on Raw, right? On the 1,000th episode when you came down.
You know what's funny is I still don't feel comfortable with that. I still don't know if that's what I am. Like Brendan said, Brendan Burns, he thinks he knows like what the holdup is and why it's still easier for me to draw a crowd at an autograph signing than it is at a comedy show. Although, you know, we did really well last night. Apparently, we're going to be sold out or very close to it on Friday and Saturday, which in a town like this with so many acts going on,
there's a lot of competition.
There's a lot of competition, and there's some really good comics who are playing to pretty empty rooms. So it's very flattering to be able to fill a room. But going back to the whole idea, it's still easier to get people on board for an autograph signing. You know, Brendan said, I think when they hear comedian, it just brings up the idea of so many bad transitions from some type of celebrity to trying to tell jokes on stage with a bad bow tie and punchlines. And he thought that really the evening with, as soon as you say an evening with, then it kind of allows you to do things, allows people to
suspends the disbelief.
So
which is you're gonna go to the show, Mick Foley's gonna talk, and you'll probably laugh.
Yeah,
like
laugh,
as opposed to like bang, 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 joke.
It's not boom, boom, boom. And I want people to my voice just went high, so you know I mean it. I want people to think also. And I want people to take home an experience that they really enjoy and remember in the same way that I would never base my entire the success of a match on how much people cheered or popped, but on how they felt at the end of that match. Some of the greatest, you know, I would say the matches that leave the greatest impact weren't necessarily the ones that had people going ooh, ah. It was like these dramatic moments. And so I know, you know, we're talking comedy and not drama, but you still want to leave with a lasting impression. And you know, some nights I do, some nights I don't, but I always, I'm not saying I have a definite goal, but my goal is not just to figure out how, you know, how many jokes I can tell, how many laughs I can
get. Yeah, of course.
I want to ask a specific question about the show that we saw on last night, actually. You made a couple of joking, a couple of like one-off remarks about TNA and
there we go.
Okay, yeah, just one thing I want to address. You made a couple of like jokingly disparaging remarks about TNA and about one of the things I watched recently that I had never seen was I think, I don't know if it was the last match you had with Sting and the Lockdown pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know when you were talking about some of the more memorable matches for whatever reason, and I remember in your book you talked about one of your more memorable matches earlier in your career was with Sting in WCW. So, I mean, was that sort of like a circular thing?
It really was. And I think, first of all, those remarks, they're not meant to be disparaging.
I know. Obviously, they're very like in jest.
And then I even do the too soon. And my one fear is that it like by saying the thing like about dozens of witnesses that I'll hurt Dixie's feelings, and I don't want to do that. It's a good company. I mean, I should have appreciated it more while I was there. I wrote a blog where I said instead of being so concerned with what, trying to make it what I thought it should be, I should have appreciated it for what it was. And I didn't do that. But that doesn't mean I can't get a couple of cheap...
Well, that's the life of a comic, right? It's like it's trying to like find the laughs all the situations.
It's not really mean, you know. but it's, you know, it's not really bad. But that match with Sting, that did mean a lot to me. And I thought the match itself was built really well. I can't help but feel the fact that it performed better on pay-per-view than the ones before it. But I still think, given what we put into it, given that it was a good matchup and a really good build, when it came short of my expectations, that's when I started to realize, you know what?
Short in terms of what kind of expectations?
Short in terms of buy rate.
Okay.
And I never even heard the official buy, but I heard it was better than usual, maybe not what I...
But not up to your expectations.
Not what I was hoping for. That's when I started to realize that WWE just had such a lock on the brand name.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's synonymous with wrestling. In the same way that you can take a couple guys from say Strikeforce before they were bought by UFC,
yeah,
put a main event, you put a hypothetical main event that would have meant nothing in Strikeforce, put it on a UFC main event, all of a sudden you got 400,000 buys just because it's UFC.
Yeah.
I realized we were up against a steep hill, you know, and I haven't quite figured out how to make that climb yet.
Yeah, it's tough, and I think that that's great. No, I think one of the things that's always sort of to me been the big for the audio listening right now, Mick Foley is
doing an Egyptian. That's what the comic is doing.
There you go.
I don't know her name, but I talked to her for a few minutes last night. And I
do you ever go anywhere where you're not recognized?
Yeah, really high quality restaurants.
Also,
I hate to say that.
We're gonna probably have a photo of it, but Mick is wearing like a tie dye, like, oh, in my mind, almost ring attire for like.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Realized. I'm 47. People should be able to accept that red, black, flannel shirts are hot.
You're 47. You have a 20-year-old.
What?
You're 47. And you have a 20-year-old.
Yeah. That means he had it when he's
not that old, right?
No, 27. No. Yeah, if you have a kid when you're 27, that's not that unusual.
Well, my math is terrible. Like, for
I'm
some
27,
reason, like,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that's not even an irresponsible age at all. Okay.
So, how are you liking Foley so far?
It's great.
It's going pretty good.
He's great. He's
fucking
awesome.
Mick Foley,
fuck. Talking a little bit about a transition over to being a comedian. What happened here was we actually had to. You might hear a couple little edit points in that clip because people were coming up to him and talking to him. At this point. So I think someone came up to him to talk about his travel arrangements home.
Yeah.
I think
yeah, that is what happened. Brendan came over.
Yeah. To talk about who was paying for his flight because he's heading over to the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. And I don't know if he's flying to LA or flying straight to Scotland. Some nonsense.
Also, I want to point out that this happened, we recorded this on a Thursday night?
Thursday night. Yeah.
This was 3 days after, four days after he did Raw 1000.
Yeah. Where he was in St. Louis.
So there you go.
He talks a little bit about it. I don't know if... I think it was in this clip. Yeah, I think it was in this clip where he talks about the crazy life that he leads.
Yeah.
And also his love for the Muppets. So this next clip, we jump in to like, as a teaser, we jump into this next clip where he starts to introduce his trip to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, yeah, that came up.
So here's Mick Foley. In addition to talking about other things... Starting off, talking about the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Gathering of the Juggalos, some guy yelled out...
Wait, I'm sorry, what did you say?
You performed...
I did the Gathering of the Juggalos, yeah,
okay,
did.
So yeah. Mick Foley performed that Gathering of the Juggalos.
Someone was nice enough to... I should have done it just for the story, because now you have stories to tell. But literally, I stopped off before I went to the Gathering. Stopped off at a store called the La Crosse Warehouse, because I actually used to be a player, and I was in the goal, and for the first time in, like, you know, 27 years, maybe more, maybe 29, I purchased a lacrosse stick, and the guy saw me, like, working in the pocket. He was like, oh, you gonna play some lacrosse? And I was like, no. And you think about it, like, there's no other reason to have a stick. He's like, well, what are you gonna do? And am I allowed to curse on the show?
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, you know, I'm just going to catch some shit in it. He's like, really? What kind? I was like, you know, human shit. Because I'd seen videos.
Right, from the Gathering, right?
Just people being bombarded with everything, including human excrement. And I had a rain poncho on, and I had the lacrosse stick, and I was ready to sit like as far back from the crowd as I could. And they actually really liked me. I mean, it was 4 a.m. by the time I got on stage, maybe 4:30.
I think it's a for you or against you situation with the Juggalos.
Yeah,
like, if they're for you, they're for you, you know?
Yeah, the promoter's like, no, these people are not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I have that much in common with them, but
nobody does. But was this before or after the tequila incident?
It's a year afterwards.
The year after. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I can understand your
trepidation.
Yeah. Now, that getting back to that Sting match, you did that in about 2009, I think, right?
Yeah, April 2009.
And the big WrestleMania Edge match was 2006.
Yes.
And then the Santino Royal Rumble match was 2012.
And
now, and what broke my heart a little bit, but was very understandable, was that when we spoke on the phone, you said that Santino match probably it.
Yes.
For in ring magical moments.
Probably, but you know, you never
know. Yeah. Right? No, never say never again.
Yeah.
Something that surprised me, and I don't want to like. I don't know if this is delicate at all, but I noticed that when you rock around, you do have a noticeable limp.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that from a knee issue or?
You know, it's a lot of things coming. It's a lot of problems. The part of the limp is a sciatic nerve issue.
Okay.
That hasn't been addressed. So, I got some. I've got some serious issues to face.
And I really don't want to delve into your medical issues or history, but I think one of the reasons it surprised me was because most of your characters, maybe with the exception of Dude Love,
this is getting really depressing now, guys.
I'm just saying,
largest comedy.
We're here at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Walter's like, about it. Don't.
So this is clearly not a classy restaurant then.
Because you're getting recognized right and center.
It's not that I don't get recognized there in nice restaurants. It's that. They understand that if I'm there, it's because I've probably done something really bad at home and need to be left alone to make amends. You know what? One of the things I'm going to try to do when I go to Edinburgh is expand on a couple of the themes. And I worked on it in Toronto. It's not ready for Montreal yet, but I'm going to expand on some of the problems I have, physical challenges I'm facing, and somehow make them funny.
That'd be great,
and,
I think. Yeah,
yeah, like, you know, yeah. Make, you know.
It's got to be terrible for you, obviously.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Yeah. But the idea that, you know, comparing, like when I do that story about Velvet Sky, it's a great story, and I love telling it, but it starts to uncover a serious truth, which is that men completely lose all semblance of rationale when there's a pair of boobs involved. And it's just like, literally, I mean, honestly, like I would have given up everything I own, and I would have given up my country's secrets just to ensure that never, ever stopped, you know, the boobs on my face. And that's the way, you know, lots of lives are shattered. Marriage is ended, and then what I say is, look, but I've got an excuse that none of these other guys will ever have. Documented case of head injuries, you know, history of head injuries. And now you get a laugh, it's like a little uneasy, but I can start going in and making, like, substantial points about something that's relevant. So when you say, it's just wrestling stories, it is, but it's not. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to tackle all that stuff yet, but I think I will be by the time I go to Edinburgh.
That being said, I guess, is it fair to say that you're, like the comedy is sort of just, like, coming, like, everything that you've gone through in your life, which is obviously, like, everybody's life has had its ups and downs, that you're trying to sort of, like, I guess maybe look for, I guess, the lighter side and, like, the whole story, or, like...
Well, the comedy serves a dual, more than a dual purpose. If I knew the right, correct word for three, a trial purpose. You know what? It kind of gives me that creative outlet that you lose when you're away from the ring. You know, as much as I love the returns to WWE, you know, it's one thing to dance with Dude Love.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure you're actually you're not really creating something lasting there. And it also allows me to... What was the subject you touched on? Because there was something to that. Oh, about the deal, the things you're going through. Yeah, it does allow you to actually speak about truths in a way that could get, like, boring or heavy-handed in a book.
Yeah.
Let's face it, I can't write a fifth memoir. You know, I just can't do it. If I did, it would be about comedy. And then the third thing is it is a viable way of earning a living. You know, I'm lucky that I have a fan base. I have to get them in touch with what I'm doing. But, you know, and when I go overseas, if any of these comics heard me complaining that I only played to 400 and 500 seaters overseas on my first year of wrestling, I'd be like getting like the Van Hammer treatment when he was in WCW. I'd be like, can you believe I only do 400 or 500? I've been really, really lucky. So I'm going to continue to try to improve. One thing, I mean, I think from what I'm told, I got some good feedback from last night. But I would like to think that even someone who didn't like the material or maybe didn't like my delivery or whatever could see that I like being up there, that I'm not a guy who's, you know, going through the motions.
That's cool. I think we can.
I think we're going to cut here.
We're going to wrap
you so
up.
Much. There's a lot of people that want to talk to you very clearly,
of course.
And I don't want to hog all the time. Thank you so much
for
this.
There are people lined up.
Right. Thanks. It's everywhere. It's been so great of you to do this.
It's a huge honor. Still more high fives for Mick.
The show
Foley.
Started. Is that new show started?
The
show on FX.
This is recording. I don't.
Hey! Hey! Mick Foley.
Oh, we're back.
Not Charlie Sheen.
Mick Foley is not Charlie Sheen. No, he's not, Walter. You son of a bitch.
I think we could get Sheen on though. I'm gonna make a couple calls.
Do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
For our 50th episode, maybe.
It's just called. It's called. Go plug yourself. Wins.
Go plug yourself.
Wins.
It's awesome. So that was Mick Foley.
That was Mick Foley. We're stopping. The show's done.
It's all downhill.
We're not recording anything else. It's done. That was the whole point of this podcast was so we can meet Mick Foley. And now it's done. It's done.
Okay.
We did it. It's done.
I'm going to be looking for a new co-host for Go Plug Yourself.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Walter's also quitting his job.
I'm going to go follow Mick Foley around a la The Grateful Dead.
Understandably, because now that he's touring, he's going to be at the Edinburgh.
I'm going to be a hardcore head.
Hardcore head?
Yeah.
Mickhead.
Mickhead doesn't sound right. That just sounds almost like a borderline like Irish slur. Hey, look at this Mickhead over here.
Mickhead. That was Mick Foley. That was great.
Yeah.
Guys, seriously, if you are a long-time listener, first-time listener, whatever else like that, I don't want to mislead you. I don't think we're going to be able to get a guest of that caliber for a little while.
Well, until we get Sheen in like 2-3 weeks.
I'm going to make a couple calls.
No,
that's episode 50. It's going to be next
summer. Right, okay.
Sheen is next summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be, I don't even want to like take away from our future guests.
No.
But they're not going to be Mick Foley.
They're not going to be Mick Foley.
This is like, it's so sad.
Unless Mick Foley comes on again.
Unless Mick Foley comes on again.
Which I can see happening.
Possibly.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, very good.
I want to get more wrestlers on.
Yeah, that needs to happen. We can, yo, yeah, we'll talk about this later.
Ross coming to town, right?
Ross coming to town.
Yeah.
If we get anybody, I'm going to make
anybody,
a couple calls.
Anybody.
I'm going to set this up.
Who I would take, who's like a complete complete B-lister right now?
Let's get, I want to get
Jack Swagger.
Let's get Santino Marella on.
No, but Santino still has a fan following. Jack Swagger is just losing matches now. His bit is currently losing matches.
Let's get Brodus Clay.
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Funkasaurus.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking way far too much about wrestling.
and the podcast has fallen into the depths of wrestling again, somehow.
Once again. But, I mean, this is okay. This is okay for this episode to fall into the depths of wrestling.
I think so, yeah.
You had fucking Mick Foley on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Brendan Burns was the round two, and he was a really good guy, too. And he was like, and the only reason he wasn't on was just because, like, it was the end of the night. Everything was really crazy.
Yeah, we have shout-outs, I guess.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon was completely intoxicated, looking for his girlfriend, but super nice to us.
It was nice to us.
Really, really nice. And seemed keen to do the podcast.
Also, who looked for us, apparently, was Daniel O'Brien from Dan O'Brien and from Crack.com.
Yep, Pete Holmes also, I think.
Yeah, and Pete Holmes. And
had a tentative from Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
Because I had a tentative from him in the afternoon.
And Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton all but said yes.
This is the part of the show where we talk about the people who weren't on the show.
Yeah, but this is like, think of this part of the
show.
Because,
you know, it's not like this. We had like an awesome show. So now let's sully it by saying who wasn't on it.
No. This is like a sizzle reel for Go Plug Yourself Goes to Just the Last 31.
Michael Jordan.
31. I was saying Just for Laughs.
Liberace.
31. You dumb shit.
Walter,
you're not making any sense.
Alf?
Alf is back in pog form.
In podcast form.
How about we start a pogcast? It's just us playing pogs.
And that's like describing them in like the most graphic detail. It's
like we describe each and every pog
oh my
in
God.
The stack.
Oh, this one's got a picture of a T-Rex.
But it's chasing a Cadillac.
And he's eating Barney the Dinosaur, and it says, "I loved Barney."
Oh,
hey, that was an actual pog. I remember.
I looked up the classic.
We're already doing it. We're already doing the pog.
Episode one of the 9 to 5 pog
podcast. Slammers.
This ties it back to the first episode. If you, for some reason, are only listening to episode 2 of the Just for Last special, go back to the first episode. You will get a hilarious story about Spencer Rice. What's his last name? Spencer Kenny versus Spenny.
Right.
What's the pogs? You don't remember the pog story with Kenny? Go back and listen to episode 1 with Kenny.
I'm listening to it now.
And he talks about that Spenny, while getting raped by his grandfather, was dreaming of getting drained in pogs. Because it's not an episode of Go Plug Yourself Without a Rape Joke. Kid.
And on that note.
And this was Go Plug Yourself goes to Just for Laughs.
You guys better like this shit. It's for you.
Like it.
It's
share
for
it on
you.
Twitter, send it on. Send it
just,
to your mom.
And I got
to
reiterate, shut up.
Shut up about the kids.
Just shut up.
The kids need to shut up.
The kids need to shut up.
No, actually.
And listen to the podcast.
Bye, guys.
Shut up. Fuck it. That motherfucker is the dog, an animal, it's a little motherfucker. I can saw it, I need to fuck it. Is he here? What? You're dead! I'm fucking with a leg and sick of food. What do you need to give up? Hey, I can't even fucking do it. Is he
Hey everyone, it's me again, wasting your time at the end of the podcast where it doesn't matter anyways. Look, if you're a fan of the show and the site in general, please take the time to like us on Facebook. We are number9to5dotcc, 9to5.cc on Facebook. And also follow us on Twitter. We're @number9to5cc on Twitter. So, and also be sure to check back on the site for something on Mondays, probably. We have Zombies in Loathing After the Bomb, usually on Tuesdays. We have a new comic in 9to5 Illustrated every Wednesday. A new podcast every week, usually on Thursday. It's either going to be a 9ES or a Go Plug Yourselves. And on Fridays, we have Fine Arts with either Sophie and Scott. And, you know, maybe John will even contribute one of his mega articles at some point, too. You can only hope. All right, thanks.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.